Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-5 The Fan, the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
All right, you're back in the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia. I'm glad you're with us here on The Fan Rochester. Welcoming in Sal Capaccio, WGR in Buffalo, Buffalo Bills Radio Network. You hear Sal every Sunday roaming those sidelines. And Sal, another weekend of great work on the sidelines. I mean, you go from Miami in the sweltering heat to the sideways rain and wetness of the Baltimore sideline. How are you holding up so far this season, pal?
It's okay. It's been fine. I mean, it wasn't even that bad on Sunday. It was just the cumulative effect of the rain, but it wasn't like a torrential downpour. It's more of a nuisance than anything. But, of course, you still prefer, you know, 60 and sunny, which I think it's going to be this Sunday, believe it or not. It's pretty crazy, right? So it's going to be awesome. Haven't had great weather. I'm actually on the Skyway in Buffalo. If anybody knows how that works, I'll be traveling over the Skyway in a minute. So if I lose reception, which happens sometimes, I apologize. Call me back like 2 minutes after that.
Okay. Well, whenever I drive that area, then I always get pinged for roaming. I'm like, no, I didn't go to Canada. Mm. What do we? I don't know if that still happens or not. But Sal Capaccio joining us as he was down at the stadium today. And Sal, your impressions of the injury report as it was just released, and I guess we're kind of learning of Tremaine Edmonds. Did this happen in practice today? I don't recall anything happening in Baltimore. What do we know about that?
No. I mean, Sean McDermott told us before practice he was not going to practice today. So he's got a hamstring. So, look, I mean, it's Wednesday. So I think I always give the message to people, stand down on a Wednesday injury report. It's a get-right day a lot of times. He finished the game. Jordan Poyer finished the game. Neither of them practiced today. Now, sure, maybe we get to tomorrow and he's still not practicing. Now you got super concerned. But I would say don't worry about it right now. It's they're teetering on the point of having enough healthy bodies to practice, so they don't want to go and get anybody else injured, right? They don't want to have something happen at practice. It's actually more preventative. So I don't know that for sure, like that he's fine, I would say, but he did finish the game, and Wednesday is usually a day that you want to make sure that anybody who's got any ailments, you know, can get everything a little bit more healed up before you get back out there.
Sal, we'll spend plenty of time talking about the injured Bills and looking back to Sunday's game and ahead to Sunday's game. But you were the first to break it, so I'm curious as to what you learned about the Tavon Austin release. The idea that the guy was on the practice squad, never got the call up, and a mutual parting of ways, I believe, is how it was phrased?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. He was not happy with his lack of opportunity. And, you know, he hasn't had much opportunity, but, you know, where has there been and where's been the argument? The only thing I would be able to offer is this is a week where maybe he would get that opportunity. And my sense is, and I don't know this part of it for sure, my sense is he probably figured, hey, this is my chance to get up. You got Crowder just broke his ankle. He's out. Kumaro's out. We know that. McKenzie's in concussion protocol. And the Bills may have gone to him and said, yeah, but we're not going to have you practice with the main offense. You're not coming up this week. Maybe that's Isaiah Hodgins. Maybe that's nobody. We'll see where it goes, but that's my sense that something like that may have gone down. And then he figured, well, I'm not going to get on the field this week, and I'm not going to get on the field. So, you know, why am I here? And decided that he'd rather be somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, and Danger brought up this point because, well, if there were another opportunity, Sal, like that's the role of the practice squad, and he could sign with any other team, any team can sign him, correct, off the practice squad at any point and elevate him to a 53.
They can. I mean, yes, it is that easy from the paperwork standpoint, from the technically, but a lot of times teams aren't just going to go do that because they want to make sure they get a guy in, they work him out. They can't just trust in good faith that a guy on another team's practice squad is going to fit right in. So it's not that easy. He may feel that he has a better opportunity to go and, you know, market himself, if you will, right, and go and, you know, perform, go and get workouts. So this is not normal. This does not normally happen, but it did today. So that is not an option this week for the Bills if they want to use that. I wonder if they do bring up Isaiah Hodgins this week. It also may say that it may show you that McKenzie will be, they're confident he can progress through the concussion protocol. Now, interesting on him, Sean McDermott said he would practice on a limited basis. He did not practice. He was out there. He was watching with his position group. So that's good news, but he didn't practice today as he progresses through the protocol.
Sal, if not this week for Isaiah Hodgins, when?
I don't know. Good question. There's no, like, you know, they don't have to put him on the team at any point. He can be a, you know, he can stay on the practice squad for the rest of the year. But it's a valid question. And, you know, if you're going to keep him around this long, this is 3 years now, and if you're going to keep him on the practice squad, why are you doing that if you have an opportunity like this and he's not going to get elevated, right? That's a valid question. Maybe he has to ask the same thing of himself and of the team afterwards. So we'll see. Again, I just want to remind everybody, it's Wednesday. We don't know who's going to be available, who's not, what that means for Isaiah McKenzie. But, you know, if there is somebody, I think Isaiah Hodgins, you know, could step in. Now, look, if they needed another return man, which I guess you could argue they could because Crowder's out, then maybe that's Tavon Austin. But they do have Khalil Shakir, who I think they believe a lot in, and they still have Isaiah McKenzie as a possible option. Maybe that's why they're not going to go with Tavon Austin, and that's what happened today. And that's why maybe they would go with a guy like Isaiah Hodgins. So there's all different skill sets and things you have to consider when it goes into all these things.
Sal Capaccio, who is on the sidelines. You hear him on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. You can hear him also on WGR and his podcast with Matt Bouvet, which we'll tell you about here in a little bit. Sal, tell us about your thoughts about Tre'Davious White, because he wasn't out there today, and we don't know exactly, right, when he's going to be activated, but what's your sense as far as how much time he'll actually need to get acclimated to from the time he's activated to practice to the point we'll actually see him in a game?
You know, I think that varies from each person. And I think Tre'Davious is such a hard worker and knows his body, and they know his life. Like, I'm sure there's good communication, I guess. But he's so smart. He knows the defense. He's been here for the whole time, obviously, since McDermott and Frazier. And he's going to be in the best shape he possibly can be in when it's time for him to hit the practice field. So I would say that he would probably need less time than a lot of other guys, but I still don't know how much time that is. You know, that's a good question. We don't know that. So if he's going to, let's say he was to practice today, that would start, whenever he does, whenever he practices, that starts a 21-day window where they have to activate him to the active roster. So he would be practicing without counting as on the roster. Once that 21 days is up, they either have to, and any time in that 21 days too, they can put him on the active roster. Or if 21 days expires, they can also put him back on injured reserve, and then he has to miss another four games. I don't think that's an ideal option. Nobody really wants that. If you're gonna practice him, he's going to be ready in 21 days, or he had a setback, I would think. So let's say he practiced today. Maybe that would be an indication that they want him ready for Kansas City.
Right.
But he didn't practice today. Now, what do you got? You got Pittsburgh this week. You got Kansas City next week. Then you have a bye. I'm thinking about that bye in Green Bay the following week. Maybe that's when they figure maybe next week he practices, or, you know, gets ready for that bye, and then he has a whole extra week essentially to make sure that he's ready and acclimated to get back on the football field. And we'll see where it goes, but it's a great question. You know, we don't know until we know it, until we see it.
Sal, the AFC Defensive Player of the Week is Trey White's teammate in the secondary. It's Jordan Poyer, and he's been spectacular in the three games that he's been out there. Four interceptions, another accolade to add to his resume. How much does this complicate Brandon Bean's ability to think long-term as to how he wants to build this roster and pay all these talented players?
I don't think something like that complicates anything, like winning an award. I think he knows what he has in Jordan Poyer. I think there's been an issue from the beginning. I think more than anything, having Micah Hyde not available and seeing how valuable Jordan Poyer is without Micah Hyde probably gets him to a spot where, you know, he has to think about what he wants to do. But look, Brandon's not going to do anything knee-jerk. He's not going to do anything off the cuff. Whatever he's going to do, he's been planning. And he's been, you know, having a plan about it. And they don't do anything just on a whim. They have a forward-thinking plan. They're thinking not only weeks down the road, years down the road. So know, we'll see where it goes with Jordan Poyer. I mean, right now, he's playing out the final year of his contract. And maybe they strike a deal. Maybe they don't. If they don't, then he'll become a free agent. Maybe they bring him back in a one-year deal next year and say, hey, sorry, we don't have the money to pay you long-term, or we don't want to do that, and at your age, we still love you here, and if you want to come back, we'll do 1 year. Maybe that happens. So, yeah, it's, I mean, look, all those things have to be decided after the season. In the meantime, they don't want to have those things hanging over them and talking about them during the
The funny thing is, like, if it wasn't Jordan Poyer winning the award, I think you could make an argument that there's another teammate, Matt Milano, coming off a fantastic game. Sal, and this isn't just this game, I think he's played well. What is the difference this year? Is it, I'm sure the answer is all the above, but the defensive line, is it him getting more comfortable? Is it him healthier? What are you seeing in the improved play here of Matt Milano?
He's always been a terrific player. You know, I don't think he ever really got the recognition he deserves. I think Matt Milano has, since his rookie year, just been a really, really solid linebacker. And I think over the years, the last few years, he's proven that he can be a super athletic linebacker. He can play in every situation, three downs, he can cover, he can blitz when you ask him to, all those things. I think, though, from last year to this year, you have to think about what the defensive line has done and the improvement to allow him to make more plays, to allow Tremaine Edmonds to make more plays. I thought last year the defensive line, look, I mean, they overhauled this line more than any other position. It's the only position on the team they really went out and did a whole overhaul, do a wholesale changes. And I think a big deal, and Sean McDermott, you know, told us in preseason they wanted to get more powerful there. And I think that the reason why they wanted to do that was to make sure that the defense, the offensive line, could not get out on those linebackers. And you know, this system is built for those linebackers to be kept free and roaming sideline to sideline, making plays. And I think more than ever right now, Matt Milano is able to do that. And even when he's not able to, he can still make plays. He can fight through. He's strong. He's just super savvy. But I think him and Edmonds have really benefited from a better defensive line. And that's without Ed Oliver and without Tim Settle for a game. So, you know, I think when those guys are fully healthy, let's see, maybe they're even better, which would be pretty amazing because he was great last week.
Hey, Sal, it feels like this is a holdover from last season's conversations, and you're at the press conferences and you're around the team more than anybody. The idea that Sean McDermott wants more out of the Bills' running game. And when you watch the game in Miami, obviously 63 pass attempts for Josh Allen is less than ideal and not something that's going to happen every single week. But you can't help but wish that Josh Allen isn't your leading rusher every week just for the sake of his, you know, the sake of his health. What do you think has held the team up in the run game? Do you pin it on one thing specifically? And is Sean McDermott right in wanting in that desire to get more out of the run game for this team?
Well, yeah, if he wants to get more, and I'm sure he does, I think everybody wants more production. That doesn't mean more volume, right? I mean, there's a difference there. You don't have to have the volume to have the production. You don't have to just keep handing the ball off and saying, oh, yeah, I want to do this because that's what's going to make my running game better. No, it's not going to make your team worse. Because you want Josh Allen to have the ball. He's your best player. You want him to, you know, throw the ball a lot during a game. But, yeah, you want to take some off him. You don't want him to take hits. And you want to control the game more with the running. That's the thing with Sean. He wants to control the game more with the running game. And if he's unable to do that, that's where that comes in. But it's more about production. Sure, he wants more production. And, you know, they have to be better at running the ball. They especially have to be better at running the ball in short yardage situations. They just have not been good at it this year. They have basically third and one, third and two, fourth and one. Haven't done a good job of it, and they need to be more, I think, more physical and more powerful in those situations. But overall, you know, they have to be more productive, and I think that's where James Cook comes in too. Like, we just have not seen the productivity from the second round pick, and James Cook is getting limited opportunities because he's producing in a limited fashion. When he's been on the field, he put the ball on the ground, his first NFL touch. He's dropped a couple easy passes lately. Like, that's an area where I think they'd like to get better. I think they want to get better in the between the tackle short yardage, too. So, yes, I think Sean McDermott wants more production. Everybody wants more production. That doesn't mean they have to have more volume.
Sal Capaccio, who you'll hear on the broadcast coming up on Sunday here on the Fan Rochester. So, I think it's a mind-bending stat, Sal, that the first time in, I know how old you are, I know how old Danger is, first time in our lives that the Steelers are 14-point underdogs. That is just a credit to that organization. Sal, do you look at this game, though, and you say it is Mike Tomlin, and it is a big unknown here at quarterback? You don't know what to expect. Or are you thinking, you know what, that's where that line should be. This should be a solid Buffalo Bills win. How do you view this matchup Sunday?
Well, I mean, the line itself, I think I probably agree with given the circumstances, right? I mean, it's a rookie quarterback making his NFL debut as far as starting in Buffalo in front of these fans. It's going to be so loud, a hostile environment against one of, if not the best defenses in the league. Pass rush, they do everything so well. The Steelers just have not been able to move the ball. They've had some issues on the defensive side. They have some injuries in the secondary. So I think from that standpoint, but look, I respect Mike Tomlin so much, and he is so good in these situations when they're an underdog. They came to Buffalo last year. I think it might have been 6-point underdog. I don't remember for sure, in the opening game, and they beat the Bills, right? I mean, that's what he's done. So somehow this guy just sprinkles pixie dust every once in a while when he's in these situations, and they wind up with a big victory or at least a competitive game. And I still expect that from the Steelers. Now, maybe it gets away from at the end. Maybe the Bills score cover through the back door or something like that. But I think the Steelers with Kenny Pickett are going to have a couple wrinkles up their sleeve. I think they're going to have do some things the Bills probably aren't expecting. They're going to try and win the special teams battle. They did last year. They had that blocked punt, which really changed the game. They're going to try and, you know, do whatever they can to make sure that they keep the ball at Josh Allen's hands. And I think they'll be competitive. I don't think the Bills are just going to walk away with this game. That doesn't mean they can't win by 14.5. You know, if they win, you know, 31-13 because they get a late score, you know what I mean? I mean, I could see something like that happening, but I don't think it's just going to be, hey, second quarter, this game's over.
Sal, the players and the team won't look ahead to next week, week six in Kansas City, but we certainly can talk about it. After what we saw on Sunday night, it certainly seems like it's in the AFC, it's the Bills, it's Kansas City, and it's everybody else. Defensively, what do you think they're going to need to do to stop Patrick Mahomes, given how good he looked against Tampa on Sunday night?
I think just take the approach they've taken pretty much every time they've played Patrick Mahomes, which is keep everything in front of you. Don't allow the big play. Ensure that they're going to get their yards. They have playmakers in that regard, but they don't have the down-the-field Tyreek Hill anymore, obviously. But, you know, Patrick will still try to do it. So I think, you know, when we get closer to that game, I'll have a better feel for it. I'll be able to watch them a little bit more, see what they're doing. But I think that, you know, really the Bills' philosophy – as a defense, is always do this. Keep everybody in front of you. Don't allow the big play. And they did a great job of that against Baltimore. And the vertical passing game that Lamar wanted to have, I think the way they've had, they did a good job. So I think that's the goal every week. I mean, even against a rookie like Kenny Pickett this week, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that, you know, keep everything in front of you. Don't allow the big play. Make sure that you're tackling when that happens. And I think that's the philosophy they take in, week out.
So, Sal, you hear him on the sideline with Murph and E. Wood. You hear his show on WGR. Now you can also catch him in the Odyssey app. It's always game day in Buffalo with Matt Beauvais. When does the next pod drop here, Sal?
We just recorded today, actually, out at the stadium. So I will upload that this afternoon, and hopefully it'll be up either tonight or tomorrow morning at some point. People can listen. Matt and I give our thoughts on the Bills and the Steelers, our thoughts on Tavon Austin, all the injuries. Our old friend Jenna Herner, who was in Buffalo here at the CBS affiliate Channel 4. Now she's in Pittsburgh working for the last couple of years. She joins us as well to break down the Steelers a little bit. So, yeah, we got everybody covered and all the bases covered to get you ready for Bills Steelers on Sunday.
Fantastic work as always, Sal. Appreciate you giving us some of your time. Let's do it again soon.
Always, guys. Thank you.
You got it. There he is, Sal Capaccio. It's always game day in Buffalo, the pod with Matt Beauvais. You can check that out inside the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast, Sal, on our Odyssey Sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo, the Extra Point Show every morning. You can hear that inside the Odyssey app as well. And of course, you'll hear Sal on game days. Roaming the sidelines, man. That is a gig that I have a whole brand newfound respect for after, you know, we do it on the high school level. He's doing it in the NFL level. He's traveling with the team. He's on the sideline in the sweltering heat of Miami. He's playing through a rainstorm that's the remnants of a hurricane. I mean, dude is on top of his game.
Yeah, and there's one point I'd like to kind of go back, and you and Sal talked about this, and you brought up the question. Like Jordan Poyer today, AFC Defensive Player of the Week. 4 interceptions in 4 games, okay?
3, technically. He missed a game.
Right. So it's even better.
Yeah.
And you asked Sal the question, how does this complicate things? I think Brandon Bean made it pretty clear. At the beginning of the season, and it was Labor Day weekend, it's kind of under the radar, right? Hey, you know what? We're going to take care of you. Here's some extra money with incentives. They didn't give him a new deal. They gave him a pay raise, not the same as a new deal for next year. That really doesn't change his pay structure for next year. It's kind of like, we recognize this, but long term, you're not. That's my read on it. Danger, I think this start changes everything. If you continue to go on this pace without a Micah Hyde, it's going to make it very difficult to let that guy walk out.
Well, he's going to get paid one way or the other. And maybe one of those incentives was an interception incentive, which you see all of a sudden Jordan Poyer leading the league in interceptions. Maybe that's the incentive that triggers a nice hefty paycheck for Jordan Poyer. Whatever the case is, he's playing out of his mind. It's great to see. It's great for the defense, obviously. And man, you hope to see it continue on Sunday against a rookie quarterback. You would think that he might be primed for a turnover or two at the hands of the Buffalo Bills secondary.
Well, we're going to break if you're watching us.
Oh, yeah. We're on the fanrochester.com, yes. Our live video stream.
I want to thank
what do you
the
got
Amherst,
there, Gino?
The Amherst brought over cookies. I'll just like, happy hockey season.
Just what we need.
Yes, cookies. And I couldn't figure out.
Because this dad bod doesn't just happen by itself. It takes hours and hours in the gym and eating cookies whenever presented.
Well, I can, kind of. Negotiate with myself. I'm going on a dad run tonight so I can eat these cookies. I'm like, wait a second, hockey, this doesn't make any sense. There's a baseball in here, a football, Rochester City logo. Oh, they're kind of all in the theme of all the specialty jerseys. There's a pride night cookie in here as well. So you grab one here?
Yeah, I'll take one of those.
All right.
We'll get one of those during the break.
So, like,
it's rude to eat during the show.
Yeah. So if you see me eating a cookie while we're talking to Sal Capaccio, that was the reason, because the Amherst are smart enough to know the Andrew Battaglia, they don't have the willpower to say no to a cookie.
I will eat that entire box. That box is gone by 6 o'clock. That's my prediction. That's my take. Bold prediction in the sports bar. How many cookies were in there? Six?
Seven.
Seven cookies?
Yeah.
My prediction is, I mean, I'm good for another one easily. I already had one. I'm good for another one easy. I'm saying there's a cookie left by the end of the show.
Oh, I was thinking of having one more.
All right. So if you have one more, I have one more. That's four down. That's right, four down the hatch.
Yeah.
Leaving three left. The Dandalorian is still here. He's working after hours. He'll probably indulge.
Oh, pizza guy is roaming around.
Pizza
too.
Dude is running around here too. I'm saying one or none by the end of the show, by 6 o'clock. Thank you to the Rochester Americans. Love that we are the home, the proud home of Rochester Americans hockey once again.
The way it ended last year, that was like, okay,
I'm
ready
thirsty for
more.
Yeah,
I'm ready for next year.
Yeah.
Happy to announce too that we will be joined weekly by head coach Seth Appert. So, and we're still continuing the streak that we haven't met Seth face to face yet. We've talked to him. What?
You didn't want to meet us face to face, Gene. Bad luck.
Bad luck.
Yeah. It was Mondays that we were talking. We're going to have him on Tuesdays.
Tuesdays.
Is that correct?
Tuesdays, yeah.
So we start a new tradition, and hopefully the Tuesday tradition with head coach Seth Appert pays off. But it'll be good to catch up with him on a weekly basis and get updates on the team throughout the course of the season here. And by the way, the Sabres preseason, they've looked good. They've looked pretty good. I don't want to say it too loud, but they've looked pretty good. It's preseason. I'm not going to get overly excited, but I think we all kind of felt things moving in the right direction as the season went on last year. We certainly felt it here with the way the team played down in the postseason, the heart that they showed. Yeah, I'm excited.
I am too, and the fact that Tage Thompson had the Gordie Howe hat trick last night.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, just laying out that poor schlub defenseman like, all right, you know what? You're not hitting my guy. Boom, boom, out.
Yeah.
Goal and an assist. Tage, you're the man. I'll drink to that. I've got takes on this trend in college sports that kind of makes athletic directors look really bad. They look emotional. I will explain why the more mature thing is actually to stay the course. And there's an NFL quarterback that you would say, okay, which team is this guy on? Well, the answer is none. He announced his retirement today. And I have thoughts on this.
When I saw it, I'm like, wait, I thought he already was, but I guess not. Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of that. I'll drink to that as on the way next. And by the way, here's what's on tap in the sports bar. It's brought to you by our friends from Three Heads Brewing.
Yeah.
On tap at Three Heads Brewing, Mexican pale lager, light, crisp, and refreshing, the perfect beer for any activity. Get the Three Heads Brewing on Atlantic Avenue today. Join Gino and I a week from Friday, Chiefs Week. We will be there for football. Football Friday Talk Live once again from 3 until 6. That's a week from Friday at Three Heads on Atlantic Avenue. Joe Giglio joining us next hour with some winners for this weekend. A round of shots coming up during happy hour and more news and notes from the NFL all on the way before 5 o'clock. And then I'll drink to that, of course, next. Some takes on tap here in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on The Fan.
Odyssey has sports for every fan. Keep up with your favorite teams from across the country and get the inside scoop from experts. AUDACY. Odyssey.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.